children, but they did have a plan. Amen. But we thank God that the plan is of the Lord. You know, are you on, Chief, yet? Are you on, Ambassador Hodges? Well, anyway, we're going to just praise. Let's give the Lord some thank yous this morning.
Thank you, Lord, for real.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you this morning. We praise your wonderful name. We give you honor and glory today, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for waking us up this morning. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Oh, bless your name this morning. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord God. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, we worship you this morning.
We commit this line with your praises, oh God. We commit this line, oh God, to worship you in spirit and in truth, oh God, this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Oh, bless your name, Lord. We bless your name this morning, Lord. We bless your name this morning, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We lift him up right now in our praise. Oh, glory to God right now.
Mm-hmm.
people of God, First Fruit Prayer Line, I tell you, this is nothing but the enemy, but praise God. Ambassador Hodges called me, and she said that he's on this other line, and he's on strong, and he's about to bring the message. I said, that is so confusing. We're doing two
services. Well, we don't have no number.
I'm going to give it to you right now, okay? I do have it.
Okay, let me write it down.
All right, everybody, get your piece of paper and pencil. I told her to tell him to hold on a minute so we can get in. It would have been so nice if he would have had someone to share that this morning because of the confusion, because everybody's not going to get this message. You all didn't. Okay, is everybody ready?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
Okay, 302, you know you have to dial a 1 first.
Yeah.
1-302.
Okay,
302. Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
202.
02.
1110.
Okay, 1110.
And then you have an SS code. It's the same thing, 959-336.
Okay,
356. It's the same SS code but a different number. Did everyone on the line get that?
What's the number again?
The number again is you got to put 1 in front of the number. You know that when you're calling on anywhere.
Yes, ma'am.
302.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
202.
1110.
1110 is in, okay. Uh-huh. And the SS code is the same, 959-336.
Okay, thank you.
Did everyone get...
Hello?
Hello, did everyone get the number?
Okay, is that 1-302-202-1110?
Yes, ma'am. And the assets code, let me hear you say it.
959-336.
Yeah, I know. Does everyone have that? Because once I hang up and call over, it won't be nobody to connect you all. I'm just the one that God let stay on the line.
So,
everyone have it?
Yeah.
It's
935?
I got, hold on 1 minute to make sure y'all don't get me all confused.
Praise the Lord.
The number is, the SS code I got is 959-336.
9-5-9-3-3,
that's what's in my phone
three,
that he sent me.
3-3.
959. Put 959.
Mother Star, good morning.
Three,
can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you. Who's speaking?
Oh, this Ambassador Fife.
Okay.
I'm giving everyone the information now, Ambassador Pfeiffer.
That's the incorrect access code.
Is it? Because that's what he gave me.
Because the number be
muted.
Yeah.
Don't make me.
Ambassador Pfeiffer, could you all let me talk to Ambassador Pfeiffer? Hello?
Right now.
Okay.
But I don't know.
Hello, everyone. Would you all please let me hear Ambassador Pfeiffer?
You got a praise report?
Ambassador Pfeiffer, what's the access code, please, ma'am? Thank you.
The access code to this number is
9-5-9-3-3-5.
See, I got what they gave me. He wrote it. It's in my phone. Hello, everyone.
Yes.
The access code is 959-3-3-5.
Okay.
Everyone on the line, I just look forward to being on
the
prayer line and just seeing what miracle is and what a little different testimony.
Look, something is going on this line. I don't even know if we're going to get on the line because I hear someone talking about the prayer line now. You all go ahead and call and get on, and God bless you all today. Anybody need me to call the number one more time?
God bless you.
That's right.
Y'all get together on that this morning.
Good morning, Chief. Chief, are you there?
No, sir. No, sir.
Hello,
no,
Chief.
No, sir.
Look at that.
It's the Holy Ghost.
It is the Holy Ghost.
I don't understand. You all hear that?
Yeah.
Yes, amen.
We do.
But do they hear us? I don't think they hear us.
Mother Stern?
Chief?
He can hear you.
She went to the other line to get some people on here.
All right.
I'm waiting a little while. Give us a couple more
minutes. I
got
so confused.
Mother Brenda, are you on the line?
Oh, my God. Yeah. I'm done. I don't know if she should be on the line. I've been on this line carrying two services.
I heard a couple people. Go ahead. Good morning, Sister Renee.
Yes, sir. Good morning.
I
just
want to
thank God for waking me up this morning. And we're getting little sprinkles here in San Angelo, Texas. I want to share something with y'all. This is my praise report. My mother misplaced her phone, and I told her, keep praying about it, and I'll pray about it too. Well, yesterday afternoon, she asked me what time did I go to bed the night before, and I said, well, I went to bed kind of late because I was on the blog line, and so after that, she said that she looked all day, and then when she went to bed, let's see, today's Friday. I guess it was Wednesday night. She prayed. She was laying in bed, and she said, Lord, please let me find my phone, her cell phone. And about that time, it started, like, ringing, and she could hear it ringing in the other bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
And I told her, to make a long story short, I said, you know what, Mom? I told her this yesterday. I said, God doesn't know what time it is. I mean, he told you, you know, the night that you were in bed, you know, where it was. But he don't know what time it was. He probably thought it was daylight or, you know, afternoon, you know. I said, just thank God that he did show you where your cell phone was.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so happy to see that. So that's my praise report, and I'm so glad she found her cell phone because, my mother is kind of up in age, and I worry about her not having a phone.
Yes,
so,
that's wonderful. I'm glad she found that phone. Next time, tell her, Mother, God knows where your phone is. He knows whether it's daytime, nighttime, in the afternoon. He knows everything, and I believe that he's going to let you find your phone. I know she was surprised at how much you've grown as a Christian, hadn't she? Wasn't she surprised?
Yes. I told her, I said, Mom, I said, God showed you where that phone was. He did.
Right. Uh-huh.
And I said, I wish that she would get on the prayer line, but I'm going to try to explain to her how to do it and how to mute the phone and stuff. And if she wants to intervene, you know, talk, you know, how to talk to y'all, you know, to get off of mute and stuff. And maybe she will. My mother is a Christian. It's just that I don't know that. This new technique, you know, all the cell phones and stuff, she's not really into it. You know what I mean?
Yes, ma'am. All right. God bless you.
God bless you.
I know that. Go ahead. I hear you.
Thank y'all so much. Y'all all have a blessed day.
All right. I heard somebody else trying to say something here.
We've been on mute. We was on mute. We just got off mute.
All right. God bless you. Anyone else want to say something before I begin?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you, barely.
But you can hear me now? Can you hear me? How about now?
Right now I can hear you.
All right, then. God bless you.
I lost you for a moment. Okay. Just shake that phone a little bit. Yes, ma'am, Mother Brett.
I thank God for the prayer line. Thank God for everyone. Thank God for the praying lady, Mother Nation, and everyone. Thank God for your prayers. God bless you so much.
Thank you, Mother.
The Lord is going to fix it so you can get that line straight now. Because I had a problem, too, on the line. They wanted to charge me. Call it. I had to change phone. I had to get another phone call.
Charging
me. Yeah, we hear you, Mother. Shake that phone a little bit more. I want them to hear this. You said they tried to charge you.
Yeah, they tried to charge me too.
Well, they were gonna charge me. And I changed phone company.
Uh-huh.
I changed phone company. So since I changed phone company, I haven't had any problem.
Okay. One of the things I found out, had some people investigating, and that's area code 712. The people with this line, the conference calls, that they've been having a lot of trouble. Well, I'll say with the phone company, they said they've been having a lot of trouble with the 712, and I think the solution is we changing lines. We on this today, amen. But when Ambassador Hagen gets back, the one who set up this for us, we're going to allow her to investigate. Amen. They're out in California with Bishop Hagen.
All right.
So keep us in your prayers. You know, it's a good sign that somebody is really doing something good for the Lord when we are being attacked by the enemy. The enemy doesn't fool with folks who ain't doing nothing. He's not going to waste his time. But when you see him attacking, that's a sure sign that something is of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. Let me just go into this message here. People, I told them to come here this morning. I want to be true to my word. I want to read this for you. If you got your Bibles, well, get your Bibles this morning, because I want to walk you through this. And I know if you can see this in the word, it will help you to believe what I'm about to show you even more. It will help you even more. So get your Bibles today. Thank you, Lord. And I want you to go to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter. And I want you to be able to move quickly, because I can't stay long here. I don't have a long time. But the 20th chapter, I'm going to have to divide this message now into two segments. I'll preach a little bit of it today, and on either Monday or Tuesday, let's say Tuesday, because we are still dealing with a lot of problems. I'll preach some today, and then I'll preach some on Tuesday until we finish this message. I want to talk about today. Well, let me read this text first. 2 Chronicles 20 and, let me see, 20. This is 2 Chronicles. Now, don't get it mixed up with Corinthians. This is in the Old Testament. All right, 2 Chronicles 20 and 1. Got your Bibles? Let's walk it through. 20 and 1. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab, the Moabites, I'm filling that in, the Moabites, and the children of Ammon, the Ammonites, yeah, the Moabites and the Ammonites, and with the other beside the Ammonites, let me name them, the children of Mount Seir, They came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Now, Jehoshaphat now is the leader of Judah, God's people, and Jerusalem, God's people. Then it says, then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea in the side of Syria. These were basically Syrians. And behold, they be in Hazazar Tamar, which is in Gedi. If you know anything about those people there, these folk were warriors. They could really fight. They would challenge anybody, anywhere. And not only one army came together, the Moabites, but there were three armies that joined together. Now, this is very unusual to get armies to join together to fight against one nation. And it tells me that they had to have a vicious, vicious hate, perhaps maybe like we're seeing what the enemy is trying to do to us. They had to have a vicious hate against the people of God in order for them to come together, to fight together, because they were all egotistical, they were all arrogant people, and they didn't normally want to share the glory with anybody except themselves. And that tells you right there that these people were of the enemy, because they didn't want to give God any glory for anything. They were people who were into themselves, and they were coming together. The Moabites, the Ammonites, and the people from Mount Seir were coming together to fight against God's people, Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, and those from Jerusalem, the holy city of God, my God. Now, I'm getting something here that I didn't plan to put in, but these folk who were coming against the people of God, joining together, makes me know that they are getting ready to be destroyed. Because God's not going to let your enemies come against you. And you are God's anointed, and they not destroyed. Mm-mm. No, he's not going to do it. They're coming against you, you God's anointed, because he said, touch not my anointing, and do my prophet no harm. They're getting ready to be destroyed. And Jehoshaphat, it says, feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all Judah. Now, that's a wonderful thing right there. We called a 100-day fast on this line not too long ago, and you all went with me on that fast. And we had fasting and praying. It wasn't because we were fearful, but because we just wanted to honor the Lord. Amen. Jehoshaphat, this is what he did. He set himself and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. Gathered together and asked help of the Lord. And I'm seeing a lot as I'm going through this. Even out of the cities of Judah, they all came together to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation and Jerusalem. Let me skip down here. If you got your Bible, skip with me here. Let's go down a little ways here. Let's go to verse 14. Then verse 13. And all Judah stood before the Lord. All Judah, all of the prayer line stood before the Lord with their little ones, get your children, their wives, their husbands, and their children. It's a wonderful thing to come together with your children. Amen. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Amen. And seek the Lord and come before him. Now, here we go. What happened? Here the children of Israel, the children of Judah, rather, and the Jerusalem saints coming together before the Lord. They're getting ready to be attacked by three armies. Now, if you know anything about those people in that day, the armies were around, I'd say, 25, 30,000 people in one army. 30,000 or more. It may have been 50,000, but they were very, very, a lot of many people in the armies. So you got at least 80 to 90,000 soldiers coming against them, against one group of people, the people from Judah, the people of God. Amen. The praise people. Judah, of course, means praise. And they were coming against them. Oh, my God. I want to paint this picture to you. Here's a massive army coming against you. Here's all kind of things the devil is trying to do to you on every hand, trying to stab you in your back, trying to stab you in your heart, trying to come against you to keep you from accomplishing what the Lord sent you to accomplish, and trying to get you in your finances, trying to get you on your job, coming against you in every way they can. This three armies, three enemies on your job, three people on your job, three armies. You ain't never had this to be before. Three of them coming together and joining together and going to try to map out a strategy to overcome you. My God. And here they are coming against the people of God. Now, of course, you know, 90,000 or 80,000 is going to make you fear if you're a human being. Don't think. See, a lot of y'all think that, but I've been fasting so much I ain't scared of nothing. God created the fear. God created fear. Amen. He put it in your body. Amen. Why? For him to be glorified. See, if you ain't scared of nothing and you can accomplish everything, I'm saying something to somebody, then you're not going to give God the glory, because you're going to move into that self-pride thing if you never fear. God gave you fear. But see, when you fear, it makes you do something that you perhaps are not accustomed to doing. Some of you are. What is that? I preach this message, how to, you know, what to do after the storm is over. And somebody said, well, now, doctor, didn't you mean to preach what to do while you're in the storm? I said, no. I said, because you can have a storm so great, the storm will teach you what to do. Here they have an army, combined army so great, this fear, this storm that they're going through teaches Jehoshaphat, what to do. What did he do? he called the people together, and he called a fast, and then they began to pray. Mm. See, your storm can make you get on your knees if you haven't been there in a while. You're always standing up praying. Let your storm get so great, you will kneel down and bend those knees. You said, but my knees are hurting. You'll get down on your knees if that storm gets great enough. I don't want to even call some of these storms, because they can be so terrible until they will make you weep. Amen. So Jehoshaphat, yeah, he knew what to do. He got on his knees. Everybody called it. And wait a minute. Right in the midst of this storm, God gave him a word. A fellow named Jehaziel, now let me classify him. He is the son of Zechariah, man of God, and Benaiah, a man of God, and Mattaniah, and Asaph. See, these are, he comes from a family of, many of them are priests. And Jehaziel stands up right in the midst of them and says, don't be afraid. I'm telling y'all on the prayer line, don't be afraid. Why? Because the battle is not yours, it's the Lord's. Well, I tell you, if you get the Lord to take the battle, let me tell you, it's a done deal. You already got the victory. If you can just get God to step in the room and take the battle. Somebody said, Dr. Johnson, why are so many miracles happening on this prayer line? Because I've gotten the Lord to step in and take the battle. Yeah, yeah. And whenever God is in the room, that means that everything that you're going through is subject to him. Everything. What are you trying to say, subject to him? In other words, it must obey him. If they're lying on you on your job, if you get him to take the battle, that means that he can speak like he did the storm and say, peace, be still, and they'll stop lying on you. If you got a problem in your body with all kind of disease, you got cancer or whatever, when he steps in the room, if we can get you to believe this, a miracle will happen. When he steps in the room, that means that cancer must bow to him. It must be subject to him. Why? He made cancer. Yeah, God made cancer. Why? For his glory. If somebody can have it and be healed, they'll give him glory. So when he steps in the room, everything is subject. And Jehaziel steps in the midst of the Judeans and Jehoshaphat and says, harden not your heart. The battle is not yours, it's the Lord's. Now, here's what's going to happen. When he says that, he says, you won't need to fight. No. And don't be dismayed by reason of this great multitude, this great army. In other words, don't fear this great army. Don't be amazed at how big they are. Because the battle is not yours, it's the Lord. Tomorrow, you go ye down against them tomorrow. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook. Oh, my God, that sends out ripples to me right there. At the end of the brook. You do remember that Elisha, God sent him to the brook on the way to the woman of Zarephath. Yeah, he sent him to the brook. Here, these folk are trying to go to the brook now. But they're at the end of the brook. I can develop that a little bit here, but I don't have time. Before the wilderness of the Ruel. And he says this in verse 17. Look at that. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Well, first of all, I told you the battle is not yours, it's the Lord's. Set yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. Somebody's wondering what to do. You got your back against the wall. You don't know how you're going to make it out of this thing. There's the answer right there. What do you do? Stand still and see the salvation of God. You got your daughter, your son on here. I'm telling you to stand still and see the salvation of God. Let God work it out for you. He's going to work it. Jesus will work it out if you let him. If you let him, he's going to work it. Amen. And let me just cut the chase here and tell you what happened, because I'm just setting this up. I'll develop this on Tuesday. Let me finish this message. He says God is going to fight this battle for you. Now, here they are in the midst of an army, three armies coming together, three enemies coming together, three kings coming together, going to fight against them with about 80 or 90,000 people. And here they are getting ready to be attacked. And they rose up early in the morning. They went to sleep that night. Well, see, that's a sign right there that they put their trust in God, because they were able to sleep in the midst of that storm, in the midst of 90,000 army persons coming against them. And watch this. And went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, I'm in verse 20, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and so shall ye be established." In other words, he's not going to destroy you. He's not going to let nobody destroy you. You're going to be established, standing on solid ground. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. And I'm standing here this morning as a prophet to you. Believe his prophets, and so shall ye prosper. I'm coming back to that. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers. You know, this is the tribe of Judah. The singers unto the Lord, and they that should praise the beauty of holiness. Oh, my God, this is wonderful. Oh, my God. And he appointed these singers to sing. Now, you know something's getting ready to happen. Yeah, they're getting ready to make noise here. They're getting ready to make a loud noise. There's thousands of people going to sing. I don't know what they were singing, but I know it was a Zion song. You do remember that Joshua and the children of Israel who fought the battle of Jericho, they marched around the wall making noise. Yeah, here they are, singing, making noise. Something about noise for the Lord will cause armies to fear. I believe it put fear in the hearts of their enemies. Why? Somebody just said, ha, 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 laughing at the enemy. Amen. Kind of like a little song, trying to conquer you. Yeah, just right in the midst of when the enemy is trying to destroy you, sing. Amen. Sing. Sing a Zion song. Yeah, whatever song you want to sing, whatever it is, sing and see what happens. Oh, my God. You say, "Well, I'm not a soloist." It doesn't matter. The words are what matters. Sing a Zion song, oh my God, and let the Lord use you to bring fear in the hearts of the enemy. Now, the enemy is trying to bring fear in your heart, but just go to, are you singing this? Go to singing. Go to singing. See, all that kind of stuff confuses the enemy. He thinks you ought to be crying, but here you are being attacked like crazy, and here you are singing. Amen. Good morning, Jesus. And the enemy says, "Well, what's going on?" They said, "They're singing over there." What? They're singing. Don't they know we got 90,000 people getting ready to attack them? And they're over there singing? See, that will put fear in the hearts of the enemy, because he thinks that you ought to be on your job crying. He thinks that you ought to feeling so down and depressed. You ought to be in the midst of depression, and here you are singing. Oh, my God. Thank you, Jesus. And what happened? I got to tell you this, and I'm closing. It'll take me about a minute to tell you this. The Lord, it says here that the Lord set up ambushments. I call it ambushes. But here in the Word, it says, the Lord set up ambushments. Yeah, he got in the hearts of this army of 90,000. Look at verse 22. This is 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 22. He set up ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and those from Mount Seir. They got confused. God confused them through ambushments. And they began to fight each other. Oh, yeah, I don't know what would make an army fight. But, you know, in this day, the only thing I know that would make people fight you like that is talk about their mama. I don't know what they said, but they started fighting each other. Somebody must have said your mama, or I don't know what it was. But there was ambushments that made them fight each other. Ammonites begin to fight the Moabites, and when they got through killing them, then they turn against those at Mount Seir. And then the Bible says that all of them were killed. Now, not just some of them, but all of them. Give me another 1 or 2 minutes. They were all killed. And then what happened is that when Jehoshaphat and the children of Israel came out the next morning, thinking that they, where their enemies were, they looked out on the field and there were dead bodies everywhere, everywhere. Not one of them was alive. God's ambushments had caused them to fight each other, and they killed each other to the very last one. Now, that's incredible. But now, watch this. Not only did they kill each other, but all these 80,000, 90,000 bodies laying out on the field. And the Lord, many times, when the children of Israel or the Judah, the people from Judah and others, sometimes when God's people fought these enemies, God told them, don't take anything. Don't take the cattle. Don't take the land. Don't take the riches, nothing. But this time, God gave them permission to go among these dead bodies and take the spoil. Now, that's incredible. Because, you see, these type of soldiers carried all of their possessions on them. Yeah, their life savings and everything else were on them. They didn't leave them in camp because they many times were afraid that their stuff would be taken. Their money, so they took their riches. Their riches were out there. And God gives them permission to take the riches. That's verse 25. They took the riches and their jewels, the precious jewels. Each one of those soldiers had all of their stuff on them, their life's earnings and everything. Let's take the bare minimum. They had at least $1,000 worth of riches and jewels on them. And I'm in the numbers, y'all. It fascinates me. And if you took 90,000 soldiers and the bottom worth was $1,000 in jewels and with jewels and riches, you know what a 90,000 times 1,000, each one of them have at least a worth of 1,000, and perhaps way more than that. You know what 90,000 times 1,000 is? $90 million. This is the second one I call the second exchange of wealth. The first time is when the Israelites left Egypt and God gave them permission to borrow all of the wealth from the Egyptians. And they had jewels and silver and gold and became filthy rich. Uh-huh. Now here is the second exchange of wealth. Here these people, all of the bodies, they didn't kill one person. God made them kill each other. And now they're made filthy rich. Oh, I don't know about filthy rich. Let's just say the wealth of the wicked was laid up for the just. Yeah. And they became extremely wealthy. I said it like that. Extremely wealthy. Now, let me ask y'all something. If you got your enemies coming against you, and God takes care of your enemies, you don't have to lift a finger, and then he makes you extremely wealthy from your enemies. Would y'all call that incredible? You don't have to lift a finger, and then you become extremely wealthy from your enemies. I would say that's something incredible. God fought them for you. God fixed it for you. And he does an incredible thing. And I'm going to finish this up on Tuesday. Sunday,